Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. This is Sally Elcordy, and welcome to Public Advocate. My guest today is Karen Johnston. Karen Johnston is known by many as a co-administrator of the vaccine, the Vine Group, which is Erwin Albers initiated the group, but Karen really works night and day addressing people's questions and educating people. She is a premier educator, and I am doing a show with her today on vaccine education truth, vaccine truth education. So I apologize for my screw-ups here, and hope everybody will bear with me. But Karen makes a lot of sense. And she works so diligently that I just don't know who to compare her to. Now, she will get on this program and exalt everyone else in creation. And believe me, if she does exalt them, I'm sure they are more than worthy, but none more so than she. Okay, so let's see if she's calling in quite yet. This show was kind of set at the last minute, but we are trying to educate people, especially this moment in Australia, where they are saying that people will not get their welfare checks or their, I guess, supplementary money from the government unless their children are vaccinated. So this is a forced vaccination situation for people who cannot afford not to get vaccinated. I mean, it's really horrifying, and it's certainly discriminatory. Here she is right now. Welcome to Karen Johnston. Hi, Karen.
Hi, Sally.
Hello, sweetheart. I'm so glad you came on today because we can't educate people fast enough, especially in light of what's transpiring in Australia.
Oh, it's incredible what's been happening here lately. I mean, they've been using the vaccine issue politically for a while now, like for elections. But as Cathy Scarborough pointed out, all the major political parties are using it now. But it's just now that they've associated it definitely with payments. I mean, families now are going to miss out on $15,000 a year per child if they don't vaccinate, which is scaring a lot of people. But at least it's finally getting them talking.
Well, do people depend on the government for this money? How many people depend on the government for this money?
I think they said it's around 40,000 people that sort of don't vaccinate. And there's a lot of single parents out there. There's a lot of low-income families out there. And they're totally dependent on it. And I actually run a few vaccine information site on the internet, and I'm getting a lot of feedback from people that are absolutely terrified of how they're going to survive, how they're going to pay the rent.
Well, all I can say is what I'm doing here in the United States, and I'm hoping everybody all over the world will do, is, you know, even though they have a resolution at the top level of government here in support of vaccination, and even though they're mandating it in certain states here in the United States, I am going forth regardless and saying it's poison and you must ban it. And I'm not going to stop strumming that chord because it is the elephant in the room, the fact that this is poison and we are charging them with poisoning our children.
Well, that is absolutely totally how I feel. I mean, I used to, 21 years ago, I vaccinated my daughter against my husband's wishes because I totally believed what I was told through the media. I even taught the wonders of vaccines for a year when I was a health mistress at a high school. And I would not even listen to what he had to say until I witnessed firsthand my daughter becoming totally limp and floppy immediately following a vaccine shot. And as soon as I had a reason to actually investigate it, I found that the truth of what's in them and the history of their effectiveness or absolutely ineffectiveness and the side effects are so incredibly horrendous that it only took me a very short time of sort of doing a bit of research, but people, they don't feel that they need to research. They trust the government. They trust, and I totally, there is no amount of money that can pay for a child that has been harmed or killed from a vaccine. No amount of money. And I get feedback from people and letters from people through the internet. I get them constantly from people who just wish that they had researched before, wish that someone had sort of convinced them to look at it beforehand, before the child was harmed. And, you know, people even posting photos of their babies that were killed. It's just heartbreaking, the damage that vaccines do in our community, and they're trying to make it a money thing in our society, and I actually don't think people are going to be swayed with money, especially people that have done a little bit of research. I mean, you don't have to do much. You just have to look at a vaccine insert. I mean, it doesn't take much research to find out that vaccines are absolutely 100% poison. It's a total scam. It's the cause of just about every disease to children and adults, and it only helps to control people through disease, and it is the biggest scam in the history of mankind, and it's so easy if people just start to research, even if they just look at a vaccine insert with the ingredients and the history and the side effects. I mean, every vaccine, the side effect says death, because every vaccine has killed people. Every vaccine. And there's no recovery from that side effect. And the heartbreak and the pain that these vaccines cause people. And what I started doing when I discovered the truth myself 21 years ago was I thought, well, let's educate the public, you know, let's get the information out there. And that's what I feel we should be doing, you know, just simple ways of getting the information out there, just through pamphlets, just through booklets, just through, you know, videos, just through just getting people to read an insert. You know, if people were more aware, if people were more educated just on the basics of vaccines, then they would say no. And if everyone said no, then the government would have no power. That's how I see it.
Right. Well, the thing is, the media is a huge stumbling block for the masses. They're being driven in fear of the wrong thing. They are fearing
absolutely
the opposite of what they should fear, which is the vaccination. So
exactly.
I don't know. We have here in America, we have public access television. I will be on it twice today, 2 hours for all of Manhattan and their 8 million people to see. And it's all vaccine truth education.
Yes.
So I am doing what I can where I live, but I don't know that you have such an outlet where you can educate people with the truth, unlike the mainstream media.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, as Kathy told you yesterday, I mean, she was interviewed on the mainstream media, and then took about, you know, 5 seconds of her interview. I was actually with her at the time that she watched it on TV, and it was, they just took one sentence out that was very vague. The mainstream media is incredibly biased, and shows like yours are so rare. These radio programs that sort of you run are just so fantastic. They're just so rare that people are able to actually tell the truth. And
well,
I just
actually,
thank
I want
God
you
for you, Sally.
Karen, dear, I was just cut off of my own radio station when I said we should charge the government with poisoning the public. They cut me off. So even this is censored. However, we Sally Forth, or we Karen Forth at this point, Yeah, so we just got to keep on keeping on. But if you have no public access where you live, the TV viewers are the vastly misinformed. So we do have public access in America. It is the last bastion of truth, hope for the people who are snookered night and day on the mainstream media. So do you have anything like that that you can utilize?
Oh, not really. Not really. We've got a couple of networks, like we've got Kathy's network, and we've got the work that Bronwyn does, and we've got a couple of others. But
when you say network, you mean on television? You mean on television where the people are snookered?
No. Kathy Scarborough. She didn't mention it in her interview, but she runs a network that provides people with newsletters regularly. Like, she has several a year that sort of come out, and they're all, you know, they're just posted to you, and they're just on A4 photocopyable sheets of paper that you can photocopy and share, and sort of the latest information. So not many are like that. Most of the others say, oh, no, well, nobody reads, you know, hardcover snail mail anymore. They all go on the internet. But everything on the internet is monitored and censored, and we've had an incredible amount of problem lately with sort of the, you know, the sort of people that run Facebook are censoring things on Facebook. Like, they're removing people's comments, they're removing people's likes from different groups, like from the Vine group, and yeah, we lost 4,000 likes in one afternoon. They're desperately doing everything they can to stop the information from getting out to the people. And things like Kathy's is so good because they can't interfere with, you know, with sort of a newsletter that arrives in your letterbox. And sort of I feel that sort of that's one great way to go, that they can't interfere, they can't stop it. And so that's why I sort of encourage people to join networks like Kathy. She's about the only one that I know that still does it.
To tell you, I saw a video in California where they're mandating vaccines for children, and they're not targeting low-income children. They're targeting everybody, including homeschoolers. So
how are they doing that?
Well, basically, they're saying if you homeschool, then you, in essence, are running a private school. Therefore, it applies to you, too. This was just explained to me the other day, and I thought, oh, my Lord, because I had said to one of the fellows, a lovely gentleman from California, I said, well, I guess you'll be homeschooling, and then I come to find out that even if you homeschool, they have found a way to categorize that as a schooling per se, and therefore it applies. This is so scary to me, but I love the fact, in a way, I mean, anytime something is so glaringly wrong, like targeting poor people, because they're not targeting poor people for their benefit. They never do. So why would they start now? So if they are
exactly
targeting poor people, this is actually beneficial to your cause, because it will
yes
raise people's awareness.
Exactly, because when I had my child 21 years ago, the word vaccination was not even mentioned at all. No one talked about it. It was not discussed. It was just something that was just done without question. But at least now, finally, people are talking about it. And I'm even having, I even got a phone call from a friend of mine who's a pro-vaccine nurse who thinks that sort of what is happening now is really unjust. Right? So even though she believes in vaccines, she doesn't feel that people should be penalized for choosing not to. And that is what is good about what is happening now. Finally, people are talking about it. It's been on all the news. It's been on all the current affairs shows for the last, you know, 3 or 4 days. It's just been constantly on the news. So at least people are talking about it. And
the
odd person occasionally. Sorry?
In our country, our government can lie to us. And the CDC can lie. So we are relying on people who are actually allowed allowed to lie to the people. So we really have to summarily dismiss them because they are, you know, they can lie to us. So if they can lie to us, how can we even pay any attention to them whatsoever? There's no accountability.
Well, so what? Sorry?
I just said there's no accountability. If people are allowed to lie, then where's the accountability? And why should anyone have to listen to the people who are not accountable?
Yeah, well, see, what has amazed me is this whole campaign has been run without one shred of evidence. Like, what I say to people is, okay, I'll show you some scientific evidence, and you show me yours. Right? And people just assume it's there. And when they actually start looking for evidence that vaccines are safe and effective, they'll find there is none because they aren't. And at least by starting to research the topic, you know, even just challenging people to say, okay, I'll present some scientific evidence if you do. I mean, the scientific evidence against vaccines is just overwhelming. I mean, you've got so many doctors that have done the research, like Dr. Vera Scheibner and Dr. Andrew Molden, and like his work is amazing. There is just so many scientific evidence to prove that vaccines are dangerous and ineffective, and it's so easy to come by.
Theory is on their side. They're filled with theory or myth of herd immunity. There's a theory. And the evidence, the preponderance, overwhelming evidence, gargantuan amount of evidence saying that vaccines are hurting children, and how could they not? They're 100% poison. So anything that requires common sense, they have deceived us about, and people are not relying on good old-fashioned common sense and intuition.
Exactly. I mean, it makes absolutely no sense. I mean, when my daughter was four, my cousin had a baby, and she sort of rung me up and said, look, you know, on advice from my doctor and clinic sister, it'd be unsafe for your unvaccinated child to be anywhere near my fully vaccinated baby. I don't know how you can have a fully vaccinated baby. And I sort of said, look, can she just look at it through the glass through the window? And she said, no, my doctor said an unvaccinated child is not allowed even in the car park of the hospital. Now, does that make any sense at all? Are we so useless as a race that sort of every child is born with every disease known to man and they're going to spread it to everyone until they've been injected with it? It makes absolutely no sense at all. But it's because people are bombarded through the media with it, you know. It's these dreadful, selfish, unvaccinated people that are spreading diseases. How does that make any sense? It's just absolute total rubbish.
No, it's just lies. The lies are endless. And we have decades of lies. So everybody is clinging to what they have been reared on, which are just a pack of lies. And it's really hard to deprogram them from what has been instilled since birth.
Well, I was one of them, so I totally understand both sides of the issue. I mean, when I think back now, I mean, for me to actually vaccinate my daughter against my husband's wishes and not even look at anything he had to say, I can't believe I'm the same person. But it didn't take long. It did take for me to witness my daughter virtually killed. She was just became instantly limp and floppy, and it was a week of homeopathic detoxing before she even began to regain her movement. But I was so fortunate that I had people like Dr. Archie Kalkarinas and Dr. Vera Scheibner and people like that that we visited. We didn't just read books that they wrote. We travelled around the country and visited them, stayed with them, talked to them, learnt from them. and I was just a sponge, and I totally understand. But I think the main thing is to say to people, can you just read the insert before you get the injection with the ingredients and the side effects? If they just read that, that would be enough to put off most people.
Let me give you a very good website for that. I'm sure you know of it, but I'm going to tell really the listeners. If you go to novaccine.com, not plural, singular, novaccine.com, and you look up, you can look up the vaccines for each and every purpose. So let's say pertussis. You go to that page, and it lists all the pertussis vaccines available. And it gives you not everything on the insert, just what you need to know. It gives you the manufacturer, the ingredients, and the adverse reactions. Know that the adverse reactions are typical. These are not one in a million. You can expect these adverse reactions. So it's a very
exactly.
good website for this purpose alone.
Exactly. Like my daughter had three vaccines and three really bad adverse reactions. Each one was progressively worse. I saw it as a coincidence initially, but you can't see it as a coincidence when you have a totally healthy baby and, you know, immediately as soon as it's injected, it becomes limp and floppy instantly. There's no other explanation. And yes, I've spent many years visiting school principals, handing information out outside schools, talking to parents and students. I've spent many, many years doing that. And what worked the best was the ingredients. People had absolutely no idea that there was aborted fetuses and animals' organs and formaldehyde, mercury and aluminium in the vaccines. They thought it was just the disease. They had no idea of the other stuff. And they went, ew, like aborted fetuses is the one that sort of, you know, got the teenagers thinking, oh my God, I can't believe it. And it was enough to get them to stop and to not get that vaccine
right.
at school. And that's what we need. We just need for people to know what's in them. We need them to be aware of the side effects. We need them to do just a little bit of research, and that's how we're going to win. Is to educate the people. That's right.
Well, you and I both are in the streets, and I'm going to give people who will do what Karen and I do. I don't talk to principals. That's a great idea, and I'd like you to expound upon that if you will. But what I would like to address is you are going to meet people who don't know anything, and there are several things that will arise. One of the things is they will feel guilty in the fact that they have already vaccinated their child, and they will go to the mat to protect that so that they don't feel bad. And you have to say to them, you must forgive yourself, as I have had to forgive myself and Karen has had to forgive herself for vaccinating your children thus far, but you must stop from this moment forward. You know, we would all like to turn back the clock, but forgive yourself. That's number one. Number two, and stop from this moment forward. So, I've had every kind of reaction conceivable. My favorite, because it only happened once, and I've given out approached thousands of people, only once did a woman look at my card and come over and hug me. And I let her hug me because I really needed a hug. I'll be honest. It's hard work approaching people who don't have a clue, you know. And she hugged me for 20 minutes. And after 20 minutes, I said to her, and your child is autistic? And yes, her child was autistic. And she had gotten a religious exemption then from there on. But they gave her a gag order when receiving this religious exemption to not tell anyone she had it, nor how she went about getting it. And I thought, they didn't give you a court award for your vaccine-damaged child, and still they want to give you a gag order. Isn't this remarkable how secretive it all is?
Yeah. Yes. Well, look, when I started handing information out, like, the only time it's really effective, like at schools, is if a vaccine is just about to be given out within the next few days. Like if it's, if you know, if there isn't one going to be given out, people aren't interested. But if one was going to be given out, but when I started giving information out, when they, the very first time I started doing it would have been, I don't know, maybe 12 years ago, when, or more, when the meningococcal vaccine was going to be given out to every single kid from the age of 5 to 18 around the whole of Australia. I had people high-fiving me and hugging me and shaking my hand saying, thank you, thank you. I didn't know there was any evidence against it. You know, this is wonderful. So many people are instinctively against it. Kids don't want to be have needles shoved into them, you know. And
so it's torture. It's torture.
With the sole exception of one doctor's kid.
It's torture. To stick children with needles is torture. If someone were to come and stick me with 74 doses of vaccines over the next 18 years, I would consider it nothing less than torture.
Oh, absolutely.
Even if
people get sick after it, and you know, people get sick and they're in pain, and you know, like sort of when one of the vaccines, well, when the meningococcal vaccine was given out at the primary school, my daughter was working, you know, like she was, the band was playing the very next day, and all the kids that were shot, they couldn't even move their arm, you know, you could tell, like it was, you know, and that's just bare minimal side effects. I mean, the number of kids that are, you know, that sort of become like paraplegics immediately after the vaccine shot. It's a huge number. There was an entire school in Wagga, an entire classroom. Every single kid lost the use of their legs immediately after
Pardon? Oh. Go ahead. You're saying
the cervical cancer vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
That was given out at schools, and sort of, you know, that's an incredible amount of damage. I mean, all of them do, but some are worse than others. But, yeah, like, when I started visiting principals, I was amazed at how open they were, how interested they were, how they admired me, but how terrified they were to mention it to anyone, and how grateful they were that I was handing stuff out to people outside school grounds. And that's what I found without exception. There wasn't a principal who wasn't interested for their own sake, and they admired the work I did, but they were scared. They were scared of their careers. Like, there was one principal who actually showed Bronwyn's Hidden Truth video and publicly, and had Dr. Vera Scheibner come and talk at the PNC meeting. And she had the Department of Education come and threaten her with her career. And you know, you're not allowed to question it, but I think visiting principals of schools is one of the best things you can do, because they're not benefiting from it financially. They're not, and they are responsible for the whole school. So, you know, they feel an obligation to get the information out there.
Karen, they see the evolution of the student population. If they've been a principal for a while, let me just tell you what the evolution is here in my backyard. I got a call from one teacher, and she said from 1 year to the next, there were six times the amount of special students. I got another call from another teacher. I got a call from another teacher who said they no longer have special ed because all the children are special. I got a call I got a call from another teacher who was a special ed student saying she had to quit her job because now they wanted to vaccinate the special ed teachers. And then I got a talk to a woman who works in the school whose son goes to the school, and they have put illegal caps on exemptions here in New York City, and she was saying that her principal was tearing her hair out because she just got a letter from the Board of Health or Board of Education. They're joined at the hip here in New York City, Departments of Health and Education, and it said to her that she would be charged $2,000 per child. Personally, she could lose money doing her job $2,000 per child for every kid who exceeded the 1.2% illegal cap. So that's what's going down in my neighborhood.
Yeah, well, I actually think that through the school system is the way we're going to get people. You know, like visiting principals and standing outside schools with information is the best way to go when vaccines are being given out at schools.
I stand on a busy street towards a large playground. I talk to people as they come and go from the playground. You know, a public park, basically. And the grandparents I have made the most headway with, and this is my opening line. You remember a time without vaccines and without autism. With exception, they're like, yes, I do. I met one grandmother who has four autistic grandchildren before they stopped believing the lies that the vaccines aren't causing autism. So she only has one grandchild who is not autistic.
And it's so sad, and it's so incredibly sad. I mean, I've people send in pictures of their autistic children and videos of what it's like living with autism, and you know, virtually, you know, practically, you've got them for life. You know, they never develop, they never achieve their potential, then they never achieve independence, and it's
right.
and they've got to have constant care, and that is just so incredibly sad.
I've heard people say, I'm going to have kids because I want someone to care for me when I get old. Well, don't get them vaccinated.
Yeah, I know, and no amount of money, like with what's happening in Australia at the moment, no amount of money or rebate is going to compensate for having autistic children. No amount of money. And the saddest thing is that the children lose affection. Like, you know, they can't talk to you anymore. They can't, you know, openly love you anymore. You know, you've just got a vegetable, or someone who's just on another planet, and you've lost them. You know,
well, my sister did not know who I was. She did not. The concept of sister. The concept of sister was way beyond what she could have wrapped her head around. And this was a child who had promise and fine motor skills, which indicated a high intelligence and all the rest of it. And I think, actually, I believe it was Dr. Scheibner who diagnosed my sister as severely mentally retarded, because she is the only person old enough with vast experience from a young age who might have been the person, because my mother saw 50 specialists, and only one lady was able to say that my sister was not normal. She was as abnormal as the day is long. And yet no doctor would give her any kind of a, you know, oh, go home and get some sleep. What? My daughter's bouncing off the wall. She's marching her head back and forth in the room all night long, and she's pulling down the curtains, and she's eating and projectile vomiting, and she's hitting her head against the wall. I mean, what? Oh, that's normal. Oh, yeah. Oh, that's real normal.
Yeah. It's just so sad. I mean, it's so hard not to get affected by what's happening to people. And it is really incredibly sad, and people are doing it willingly, taking their children to the doctors. I mean, there was Alan Yerko. I actually became friends with him when he was in jail. His baby died within hours of getting a vaccine shot, and he was arrested and put in jail, but he was able to eventually prove with the help of people like Dr. Bruce Scheibner, actually eventually able to prove that it was the vaccine shot that killed his baby. But they still wouldn't let him out of jail, only if he if he agreed that it was his fault. So what he ended up doing was he said, yes, it was his fault, because he willingly took his baby to the doctor to get the vaccine shot, and then they let him out of jail.
Bingo.
Yeah, so that's how he got out of jail. But, you know, people still find it hard to believe. Like, people say, oh, but of course you reported it. If you report, you know, that your healthy baby was killed from a vaccine shot, they go, oh, no, it's not shaken baby syndrome. It's this rubbish that they invented to blame the parent. And they arrest the parent and put them in jail. So that is why people are scared to report vaccine damage. So hardly, like as Kathy said, there isn't even a way of doing it over here. And if you dare to question the vaccine, well, the doctors have all the power in the world, and they can just say, oh, no, you're the one that's harmed your child, and you're the one that killed your child, you know. And with no evidence at all, you can get put in jail for the rest of your life. So there is all this happening.
Another thing that Christina England says is that the vaccine records go missing. And
yes.
I have actually approached a judge whose child died from SIDS, which is shaken baby syndrome without the parents going to jail. That's the only difference. So the child died from SIDS, and I talked to the grandfather, and I beseeched him as a judge. I said, can you help me change the laws? Since there is no case of shaken baby syndrome in a child who's unvaccinated or unvaccinated in the womb, I mean totally unvaccinated, will you help me get cases of shaken baby syndrome thrown out of court if the vaccine records go missing or are unavailable? Because, you know, there is a precedent here that only vaccinated children, parents, are going to jail. Hence, there should be enough evidence to say that without the vaccination records, they must throw these cases out.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, Dr. Vera Sharman approved it in the mid-1980s, the link between the DPT vaccine and cot death with her cot watch machine. But she was just branded a Fruit Loop and this big campaign against her, and she... And you couldn't get anyone more scientific than Vera. And so she started looking at vaccines, and she found out that the whole thing was a big scam, and which is, you know, what anyone learns as soon as they start looking into it. They say, oh, there was an outbreak of whooping cough, but they don't mention that they were all fully and recently vaccinated. You know, and the same with measles. I mean, measles, it's the most mild little disease, and so long as you haven't been vaccinated, you're only sort of a couple of days in bed and you're fine, and you're much stronger and healthier through having had it. But it's only,
it's the fear thing about the measles.
It's ridiculous.
Measles versus autism. You know, that's
what's
really
that?
what we're looking at. Naturally acquired measles versus autism, vaccine-created autism. I mean, I'll take the measles for 5 years over, I'll take the measles for the rest of my life versus autism.
Yeah. That's right. I mean, there's one thing about measles is that if you get it naturally, the spots start on the face and then just travel through the body and leaves the body cleansed and stronger. But with atypical measles, which happens only in the vaccinated, and you don't have to have received a measles vaccine, any vaccine at all can do it, the spots start on the palms of your hand. All right, so and then travel internally. So that's the only time measles can be dangerous, but it's only in the vaccinated. It's because the actual chemicals in the vaccine have destroyed your natural immunity and destroyed your body's ability to deal with disease. So
right.
It's the opposite to what you're told.
Vera Scheibner also said that it prevents, if you have naturally acquired measles, it prevents certain types of cancer.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. It sort of leaves your body stronger, and you don't get diseases like cancer later on in life. And it actually helps to develop your creativity, which happened with me. I mean, I got measles naturally. I had, 3 days in bed, and that was it. And I became really good at drawing, which is something that is actually encouraged in sort of many other countries. I mean, they call it the gift of the gods, measles, and they have measles parties. Well, they used to have measles parties so that everyone can get it.
Wait a minute. Are you telling me that you literally became more creative from naturally acquired
measles?
Absolutely.
Haven't you? It's in the Hidden Truth video. It actually shows a child's drawings before, during, and after measles. And the kids' drawings are incredibly developed after a couple of days. And I actually became really good at, I really became really good at drawing. And won an art scholarship and became an art teacher because of it. Getting measles naturally. Yeah, it is, actually. But it is in the Hidden Truth video.
Wait a minute. Hold on, Karen. You're going to put in the comment area, everybody open the link to this show. Don't just watch it on Facebook. Click on the link, and then you'll see links that are associated with Karen and myself below. And then we're going to add to the comment area all of the other issues that we discussed on this program. You will be able to access all the links that verify what we're saying. So we're not unlike, Dr. Office bailed on a debate today with Dr. Bark. Oh, he's such a robot. He said that it is beneath him to debate the science of vaccines. Really, Dr. Office? You just want to spout anything you want and have nobody qualified to debate you. What a chicken. What a cretin. What a cretin.
I know, and that's all they've got. All they've got is Offit. And he's so pathetic. I mean, he was challenged for a debate and he's pulled out at the last minute. I mean, and he just, and he's all they've got, and he's obviously paid. And he never presents any evidence.
He had to realize it was a debate. He loved going on media and spouting lies unchallenged. But he didn't.
Yes, he was supposed to be in a debate and he's pulled out at the last minute. Yes, because he can't possibly win a debate because he's got no evidence. And we've got so much.
Right.
He must realize that. He pulled out at the last minute.
Now, for anyone listening, I want you to know that not only does he, I understand, make $30 million a year from the pharmaceutical industry, but he has his own vaccine, the rotavirus vaccine that he's created, and he said children can take 10,000 vaccines and not suffer as a result. So this is
improvement.
Yeah.
I know. I'd like to see him take 10,000 vaccines. Initially, he said 100,000, didn't he?
I'm
pretty sure initially
Karen
he said 100,000.
Karen Johnson of my friend from Australia, I would like you to give parting words. My name is Sally L. Porting, the program is Public Advocate, and Karen Johnson is going to say farewell to you now.
Oh, thanks so much. Thanks for this opportunity. And don't give up, people. Just spread the word. Get people to start looking at inserts, to start researching, and they will find the truth out. And we will...